have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now, here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. Finally, it's Friday and it's only been 3 days of a work week. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. That 3 days kind of felt like it was eight, but hey, yeah. We made it.
We did. And I don't believe that I am still 100% yet recuperated from Mardi Gras week.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's been rough. And went screaming at Mardi Gras parades for days. And then as soon as that was over, all the pollen started falling out of the trees and some allergies kicked in. And so, yeah, I sound horrible. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I think all of the pollen fell out of our trees, but it's good though, because all the Mardi Gras trees are now in bloom here. So, you know, spring is right around the corner.
There you go.
But Wednesday it was like running on about 50%. And then yesterday was about, we'll say 66%. Today, about 75 to 80.
Yeah, that's about how I am.
I don't think I've ever looked so forward to a weekend after a short week ever. I'm just so tired and still got things to do this weekend. Going to see the Batman tomorrow, which we're going to talk a little bit about a little later in the show. But that's bright and early at 11 a.m. and I'm hoping that I can wake up enough to enjoy.
The last two movies that we went to see were about 11 a.m. and it was really nice. We were, for the first movie, we were two of probably 10 people in there. The next one, we were two of about five or six people. And so it was really nice.
Well, this will be the first time that I see anything in IMAX, so I'm really looking forward to that. So it'll be good. I'll be ready for it. Well, like I said, we'll talk more about the Batman here in just a little bit. But the thing we need to talk about is this week has been the NFL Combine. And so yesterday, Mickey Loomis did some interviews and addressed a few things, and namely Jameis. So Loomis was quoted as saying, "We're approaching the quarterback decision with a sense of urgency, that's for sure. Hopefully we can get something done with one of the guys that is available. Jameis is certainly an option for us, and hopefully we're an option for him as well. We'll go through the process here and see what happens." The way that it was kind of laid out, as far as the way that I took it, was essentially, they're not going to be taking a quarterback at number 18. He later on said that drafting at the back of the draft in the first round is just not going to, it's not going to be conducive of getting a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. I'm 100% with him, and moving up into the top five or six or something would be like the Rams. You'd be like the Rams the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and there's really not any quarterbacks that are really just, you know, blowing anybody away to justify doing any of that. So I think this is a situation where, and it's going to be tough. Let me say that, even re-signing Jameis, because there's not a lot of free agents out there, and there's going to be folks throwing a lot of money at these quarterbacks. So hopefully Jameis really enjoyed his time here. and wants to stay.
I'm with you. And I'm hoping that keeping as many of the coaches as they did will help him, because I know his main thing was his – well, first, when he first got here, the reason he wanted to come here was to work with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Well, neither of them are there anymore. But with Payton gone, you've still got all the people that Payton was coaching with, most of the people. And so hopefully that will make him say, you know what, it's probably going to be about the same. And then also you got Mike Thomas coming back, pretty much. And so, yeah, I'll go ahead and stick around.
Yeah, and he addressed that too with about Michael Thomas, that he was quoted as saying that he knows that Michael Thomas is certainly motivated. Mike is always motivated, so that's not an issue. I think the issue is that you need to have another receiving weapon to go along with him. Certainly, Deontay Hardy used to be Deontay Harris.
That's going to take a while.
I know, Will. He's going to be a restricted free agent, meaning that the Saints get to match any offer that he's given before he's allowed to sign with anyone else. Other than that, you have Marquez Callaway. I don't look for Traquan Smith to be back. I mean, there was a lot of potential, I think, but a lot of unrealized potential, I should say.
I'm with you.
And then you also got to take into consideration too, you're more than likely going to lose Tron Armstead. Let's see, the three highest paid left tackles in NFL all make at least $22 million a year. And just for an example, Trent Williams last year, he at being a year older than what Armstead is, got a 6-year, $138 million deal. And that, I just don't feel like that's going to be in the cards for the Saints.
No, I'm with you. That's with, and I know Mickey Loomis is amazing at restructuring and things of that nature, but that's a whole lot of money.
And you know, it could be one of those situations where we're really looking for a wide receiver at that number 18 pick, and it very well could be a left tackle that gets taken.
True.
And I know that would probably disappoint a lot of folks, me being one of them, but at the same time, it's so important to protect the quarterback, as we saw most of this year with our offensive line being hurt most of the year. It's so important, and especially for somebody like Jameis, he's got to be protected and give him time to make good decisions.
Yeah.
Other thing that was addressed, or not addressed really, but another thing too, is Marcus Williams, who was playing on the franchise tag last year, but they're probably not going to do it again. And the top three earners at that position make $14 million a year. I don't know if I would consider him a top three safety, though. He's good.
Yeah. He's good enough that you want to keep him around. He's not good enough for $14 million a year.
No, I don't think so either. So they cut out, you know, I think we talked about it the other day. They were able to restructure three or four deals, and they basically cut their payroll or their cap situation in half. So I don't look for that to really be much of an issue. However, it's going to be tough to sign, we'll say tier A, quote unquote, free agents. I don't see that happening. Free agency starts on the 14th, so we're only 10 days away. But speaking of that, it looks like the Cowboys are going to release Amari Cooper, the Pro Bowl wide receiver. But they're actually $21 million over the cap in Dallas, and he's due $20 million next year. So I didn't realize their cap. Number one, didn't realize their cap situation was that bad. But if he's looking for that kind of money, good luck. And he probably will really enjoy playing in Jacksonville.
I say we give him a equal trade for Traquan Smith.
Yeah, we'll do a sign and trade. We'll sign Traquan for $8 million, and we'll trade him for Amari Cooper.
There you go. I like it.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what where he lands. But, I mean, those guys, I mean, we talk about it every year. They're always projected to be in the Super Bowl, and it just seems like they can't get out of their own way, and they never seem to be able to make it. So, all right, well, let's take a break, and we'll come back. We've got some beer to talk about. I mean, it's kind of hard right now because of how much we probably drank last weekend. But this is a weekend to give your liver a break, because you know what next weekend is, don't you?
Yes, exactly. Same Patrick.
That's right. All right, so let's take a break. We'll come back with more of the Something to Say radio show right after this. It's hard right now to talk about alcohol or liquor or spirits or anything after as much has been consumed in the last 10 days. But
yeah. So to go along your lines that you're speaking of, you're saying right now, I'm drinking a Gatorade. So yep.
I am drinking an Arizona herbal energy drink. So It has a little bit of punch, not like a Red Bull or a Monster or anything like that, but just enough that you don't get jittery. So I need a little pick me up today, but we'll try to push through and go ahead and talk some beer. So first, before we go through this list that's brought to you by Gear Moose, gearmoose.com. What are some of the beers that you like to drink on St. Patrick's Day, other than Budweiser?
I always have to go with a Guinness. It's St. Patrick's Day. You kind of have to go with a Guinness. That's my go-to if I'm not drinking my normal Budweiser.
Yeah, I think Guinness is a go-to. I actually had a Guinness mint chocolate stout not too long ago, and that was pretty good. Nobody else seemed to care for it in the house, but I did. I'm sure Echo would have enjoyed it if I gave it to him, because he'll drink pretty much anything but lettuce or mustard.
Oh, I didn't realize mustard. Okay.
He can swallow it if it's on meat, but other than that, if it's mustard on bread, he won't do it.
That coach is the same way. If there's some mustard or ketchup or something on a hamburger patty or something, then he'll eat it because of the hamburger. But that's about it.
Yeah. Fickle dogs. So, all right. So this first one is from Great Lakes Brewing, and it's called Conway's Irish Ale. And apparently the beer pairs best with stew and corned beef. All right. I've never heard of anything pairing with stew, but okay. next we got Guinness Extra Stout. I think that's a pretty obvious one. I think I've drank more Guinness Extra Stout than anything on this list, but
yeah, same here.
This one I haven't seen in a while. I'm assuming, I guess they still make it. Killian's Irish Red.
I haven't seen that in a while either. Whenever I could find them back in the day, I would get them sometimes, but you're right. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen that in a while.
Mm-mm. This is another one I haven't seen. I haven't seen this one, period. But after having some of the Guinness Nitro coffee stouts, I'm interested in this because it's by Breckenridge, which they make pretty good beer. And it's a Nitro Irish stout. And that might be something. It's probably going to have a kick to it. I'm assuming it's probably plus 6%, I would think. Doesn't say, but I would assume it is. And of course, some of this, you know, is not going to be available in Louisiana, but people listen to our show from across the country and across the world. Mostly, I would say in the St. Louis metropolitan area is probably a lot of our out of towners listen from, but some of this might be available up there. Next,
here's to you, one guy in France that listens, that downloads our podcast.
That's right. That's right. He does. Wexford, never even heard of it, but it does sound good. It sounds like a good breakfast beer. Isn't that awesome? Breakfast beer. It's Wexford Irish Cream Ale, and the recipe actually is it's over 200 years old, and it needs to be served between 45 and 50 degrees. So that one, I think that's a good one to start your day with. Have Harp Lager. I've never seen Harp here. I don't think I have. At least
I've heard of it. I've seen it. It's they have the sign for it in every single Irish pub you ever go into, but I've never been able to buy one.
I've had them before. They're okay. And I mean nothing that blows your socks off. Next one is Long Ireland Brewing Celtic Ale. Never seen it and probably won't find it here. Made with flaked oats and honey with a full-bodied flavor and finish. It's a perfect pairing for any St. Patrick's Day feast. Then you got the Guinness Foreign Extra Stout. I've never seen that. The only thing I can find is just the Guinness Extra Stout, other than the Nitro Coffee ones. O'Hara's Irish Stout, never seen that. But I mean, if you go to a place that specializes in craft beer, you're probably going to come across some of this stuff. Yeah, it is cool. Smithwick's Irish Red, I'm assuming that'll probably be along the lines of Killian's. And let's see, actually, that one's not very high alcohol, 3.8. Murphy's.
That's the breakfast beer.
Yeah, that is the breakfast beer. Murphy's Imported Stout. I never heard of it. If you can find it. Dogfish Head. I used to get Dogfish Head in St. Louis. I don't know if I've seen it here, but it's good beer if you can find it. That one's called Barrel Aged Utopias Worldwide Stout. And if you can say all that before at the end of the night, then you didn't get drunk enough, apparently.
Yeah, with you on that.
Then you have Brooklyn Brewery Black Chocolate Stout. I love chocolate stout, so I'm all in on that. Other half Brewing Past and Present Porter. Again, if you can say all of that properly at the end of the evening, then you did all right. You have Allagash Black Stout, and it's from the description, it's a nice rich dark beer. So there you go. There's 15 beers for you to try on St. Patrick's Day. Head out to your favorite spot to get them, and let us know what you enjoyed most. So we need to take a break and get some news, so we'll be back right after this.
Look at your young men dying the way they've always done before. And look at the hate we're breeding, and look at the fear we're feeding. Look at the lives we're leading the way we've always done before.
We're back with more of the Something to Say radio show, and I got to use the line from Major League whenever I say this, because it's not often you get to say any lines and be serious, lines from Major League and be serious about it. If you haven't been paying attention to the Pelicans recently, and judging by the attendance, you haven't, they are on a roll.
That is perfect.
Right, they are. They're 3-0 since the All-Star break, and they have been playing excellent basketball. And this is all without Zion. We talked about it the other day. They moved into to the 10th spot in the playoff race, so they would be playing a play-in game. And the Lakers, I think, are like a game and a half in front of them, maybe. But the Lakers are not playing well. To the point where I think Charles Barkley the other night after their game, he just said they were losers. It's not often that gets said. I read Rod Walker's article today talking about the Pels, and you brought up a line that he had in there, so I wouldn't steal your thunder or his. So if you want to share what Rod had to say today.
Said the New Orleans Pelicans may want to consider changing the meaning of their WBD motto from "won't bow down" to "will beat down." I love that.
Yeah, it didn't. I didn't think we'd be saying that at all this year, but they beat the Lakers the other night by 28 points. They beat the Suns, the Suns are the number two team in basketball. Beat them by 15. And actually, since the 1st of February, they're 8-4, and seven of those eight have been double digit wins. And the only one that wasn't was an 8-point victory. They've been the amount that they've been beating teams is by almost 18.5. So they're playing excellent basketball. And it seems like they're, you know, CJ McCollum, he's really been a difference maker. I mean, he's got somebody that can shoot from the outside and just plays good basketball and seems to be loving it in New Orleans and is just really gelled with Brandon Ingram.
Yeah. After his first couple of games, you know, it took him a minute to get comfortable, but they have been on a tear since. He's fit into that team perfectly.
Yeah. And, I don't want to take anything away from Herb Jones too, the rookie. Like, we talked a little bit about him the other day, but he's been playing really well, and just good team basketball, really. And I hope that it continues tonight. They're playing the Jazz because one, it would be a nice payday for me from the good folks at DraftKings, but more importantly, you know, I want to see him keep winning. And I'm not saying that they're going to get up. They'd have to win every game for the rest. There's only 20 games left, I think, in the season. They'd have to win every game to have a 500 record for the year. But, you know, you get on a roll and you get hot at the right time and you get in the playoffs. If they jump the Lakers, then at least at that point they'd be playing a home play-in game. So, and the way the Lakers have played, I don't think the Lakers could – maybe beat you and I at this point. maybe, I don't know. But you know, it's good to see, and hopefully I'm hoping that more folks are starting to go out to the game. I know I certainly have been considering it, and even they sent me an email not too long ago about season tickets and for next year, and I'm gonna tell you what, it's a pretty enticing offer. Like two tickets and you make eight payments on it, and it ends up being like $140 or something a month. So really not bad.
Yeah.
So
not bad at all for season tickets.
No, but the only thing is, like, realistically, I was thinking about, like, well, am I really going to go to 41 games? No.
Right. True.
You know, probably a couple games a month I would be okay with, you know, like, but to go 41 times, that's a lot. And I think they buy back like five of them or something like that if you don't want to use them. So I don't know, it's something to think about. But there you go, I could do that. we could have call-ins for to sit in my season ticket seats.
You and my friend Jim will be sitting there watching a game together.
Yeah, right, exactly. they played Sacramento the other night. Actually, Alvin Gentry has been the He's been the interim coach for the Kings, and he was even impressed with him and talking about CJ McCollum, saying he was a good fit. And now granted, the Kings also lost by 30 points to the Pels. So, you know, he said that the Pelicans have a situation where they have a chance to do something special. I don't know if it's this year, but I would like to see him make some noise and be able to do some things in the offseason then and build the team up. And, you know, at that point, A, I don't think Zion would want to leave. And number two, even if he did, okay, we'll just get a bunch more draft picks and we'll be fine.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah, we're doing pretty good without him. I mean, I guarantee you he'd be a great addition on that, you know, on the court. But if they can keep playing like this, you know, I mean, yeah, not saying I want them to go, but yeah, okay. Bye, I guess.
All right. So, I don't know. They play tonight against the Jazz. So, tip-off is at 7:10. And actually, the Pels are a four-point underdog, which isn't much for the Jazz. And the Jazz are a pretty good team. So,
all right.
We'll have to check it out. And speaking of checking out, we talked about it in the first segment. Tomorrow, I got to go see the new Batman. I'm a big Batman fan. And it actually, and I think this could be one of the first movies, probably since Wonder Woman, as far as Rotten Tomatoes are concerned, that had a 96% fresh rating.
I've heard it's amazing. It's so much better than what everybody thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and I think one of those, you know, part of it is the fact that you have Robert Pattinson as Batman, and I think it got a bad rap at first because of him being, you know, being in all the Twilight movies and being a sparkly vampire. It's like, how in hell is he going to be Batman? But I had a friend that brought that up to me too, and my response was, well, you know what? Whenever Heath Ledger was cast to be the Joker in The Dark Knight, I was like, really?
For multiple reasons. Things I Hate About You.
Exactly. The guy from 10 Things I Hate About You. We'll go with that one. Yeah. Well, multiple movies, actually, but, or A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
He was also in that.
Yes.
among other movies. But I didn't see it. But then, you know, the guy ends up after he passed, but he still won an Academy Award for that. And usually folks don't win Academy Awards for playing in superhero movies.
Yeah.
From everything that I've been reading about it, which has been really hard to skip and not get any spoilers, but everything that I've been reading about this movie is that it's absolutely fantastic. And that even though it's almost 3 hours long, it's still a great Batman movie. And Matt Reeves, actually, he even talked to Christopher Nolan a while back and told him that his goal was to make a movie and trilogy better than Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy.
All right. Well, apparently he's off to a good start.
Apparently so. So with that being said, the best Batman movies of all time, the top nine. And this one, I think if there was 100 Batman movies, I think this one would be 101 because it was so bad to the fact that they had to stop the franchise and restart it with Christopher Nolan's, you know, that was probably 8 years later, but 1997's Batman and Robin, where Joel Schumacher thought it would be a really great idea to put nipples on the bat suit. Such a terrible movie. I hate to say it, but I own it because I think you have to. It's so bad. So bad. Number eight was Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. I don't know. Like, I didn't think it was that bad. It where it really got goofy was the end, whenever, you know, the whole time Batman and Superman are at odds, but the fact that Bruce Wayne doesn't kill Superman because their mothers are named Martha, that was pretty dumb. Yeah. That was,
that's actually the only one I haven't seen, because I heard enough about it beforehand. I was like, I'm not going to go watch that. And then I just never watched it once it came out, you know, on DVD. I get another one there. I guess that was still DVD or Blu-ray time, probably.
Yeah, it was Blu-ray. Number 7, Batman Forever. It was better than Batman and Robin, but not by much. And that's as much credit as I can possibly give it. Number 6, The Dark Knight Rises. I didn't think it was, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. It wasn't as good as obviously The Dark Knight. That was the third installment of the trilogy. But it also, you know, with Heath Ledger passing away, they kind of had to shift gears, and it probably isn't exactly the story that they wanted to tell.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that one would have been better as a standalone movie.
Yeah, I think so too. Number 5 is the original 1989 Batman movie with Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton. I mean, that was our Batman when we were kids, yes. You know, and I at the time I thought it was amazing, but until then I saw Christopher Nolan's trilogy and I'm like, no, it was not as good as that for sure.
I still like Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yes.
But the movie was not as good as some of the others.
Well, I'm glad you do, because he will be returning in multiple movies as Batman.
There you go.
So number 4 was Michael Keaton's sequel to the original Batman with Batman Returns, and it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it as much as the first one, mostly because I like the Joker, so anything with him as the villain I'm pretty on board with. Number 3, Batman Begins, a good movie, and that's what kicked off the Christopher Nolan trilogy, and it made I remember walking out of the movie theater saying, it just made it seem real, like this could actually happen, you know. Yes. And I don't think that take had ever been given to a Superman movie or to any superhero movie. Number 2 is the one that we're talking about, the one that's coming, it comes out today. The Batman is actually already been picked as the number 2 Batman movie of all time. So we'll have to see it. And number 1, of course, and I don't think, at least in my book, I don't think anything's going to be able to The Dark Knight is my favorite movie, period. So it's going to be really tough for any movie to top that, or especially any superhero movie. So, all right, we'll go to your favorite movie theater and check out The Batman this weekend. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and wrap the week up with some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Be right back after this.
What's your plan for tomorrow? Are you a leader or will you follow? Are you a fighter or will you cower? It's our time to take back the power.
What's all right, we're back. Something to say radio show, the last segment of the week, which, as you know, we like to wrap things up with a little segment we like to call Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. So, Mike, what do you have for us this week?
All right, I've got man, quote, abducted by aliens 50 years ago, claims he warned world about COVID and World War III. A fisherman claims he was warned about the COVID-19 pandemic and World War III after he was abducted by aliens almost 50 years ago. Calvin Parker said that he kept these visions to himself until recently, which I don't know how you can keep them until recently when the pandemic's been going on for 2 years, but
right.
When he decided to, they don't actually give a date when he said all this, but when he decided to reveal his claims of abduction 50 years prior, as he now fears they are coming true. The 68-year-old said that he was fishing on the banks of a river in Pascagoula, Mississippi with his friend Charlie Hickson when they claimed that a UFO landed nearby. He said that he was shown terrible events from humanity's past, present, and future during his close encounter back in 1973. A 19-year-old at the time, he claimed that he was grabbed by the strange creatures which had lobster-like claws and carrot-like noses and ears.
Oh, neat.
Carrot ears, that's interesting.
At least it wasn't Rougarou.
Yes, exactly. I don't know, Pascagoula is pretty close to Louisiana.
All right.
Referring to the pandemic as a plague, he added he was warned it was coming. He said, this is a plague. There is a plague going on now. Of course, there has always been some kind of plague since the beginning of time, but from what I saw, this one gets even worse. It was caused by mankind, which is a very bad thing because God is going to teach us a lesson and stay out of it before he steps back in. Mankind has lost faith and will not and not willing to help others. The plague will kill millions, cause food shortages, and people will fight and steal other people's things just to survive. So basically, he's saying what has been going on for the last 2 years. This is already going on, but it will get worse. Family against family, friend against friend. There will be a time where it will be impossible to trust anyone. He also claimed that his second vision was a coming World War III. He added, then there's going to be a great war that one side blames the other, which I'm pretty sure that's every war in the history of mankind. In my vision, I've seen people's skin melt off their body. Man, that's an interesting vision. I don't know if that's a nuclear war or not, but it puts nation against nation. There will not be a nation on Earth that is not touched by this war. He added that there will be food shortages and toxic land so bad, no more crops will this says no more crops will grow after the war, but I think they meant grow. On top of that, in his supposed visions, he claimed water supplies will be cut off too. But then he boldly said that humanity will turn a corner and everyone will come back together and begin to heal slowly but surely. I don't know how that's going to happen if the whole world has been destroyed by nuclear missiles. He concluded, my personal opinion is that they, politicians, are a bunch of idiots that overlook what is best for our planet and the entire human race. And there I do not disagree with them.
That's the smartest thing you said.
I didn't come up with this on my own. This is not a figment of my imagination. No, this is what I saw, or should I say was shown, during my abduction experience. I truly hope that these future visions do not come true. You're talking about what's happening now, dude. And, hold on, I just had something pop up on my computer. That's pretty much the end of it anyway. So, I'm done.
Wow, that's a very broad vision that the aliens gave him are essentially big crawfish.
Yeah, exactly, with carrot ears and noses. Apparently it's a cross between a crawfish and a mutant Frosty the Snowman.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's see here. I've got a couple left for us. Have you ever flown on a JetBlue plane?
No, I have not.
Well, you might want to keep that streak alive, because this comes from NBC News, and the headline is JetBlue pilot who was removed from cockpit told officials he'd had 7 or 8 drinks. The pilot was removed from a plane's cockpit in Buffalo after a TSA officer said he appeared impaired while passing through security. He was removed from the cockpit in Buffalo on Wednesday morning after the TSA officer told authorities that he appeared quote unquote impaired. And the pilot, James Clifton, 52, was taken into custody after he registered a blood alcohol level of, do you want to guess?
Oh God, 0.25.
Oh, no, that's way too high. But 0.17, which is double the legal limit of driving a car. A car. Clifton told authorities that he'd had 7 or 8 drinks before he got on the aircraft, which was bound for Fort Lauderdale. Maybe he thought it was spring break already.
Oh, there you go.
Clifton submitted to the test after he told police he needed to get his gun from the plane's cockpit. Pilots are permitted to carry firearms on planes if they're certified to do so. His status wasn't immediately clear. Let's see. Clifton, he's actually from Orlando, so he's a Florida man. May face federal charges. It's not immediately clear whether he has a lawyer. JetBlue said it was aware of the incident and fully cooperating with law enforcement. Clifton was removed from his duties while the airline conducts an internal inquiry, the company said. Federal regulations bar pilots from drinking while on the duty within 8 hours of flying, or if their BAL is greater than 0.04. Wow, really? If you have a BAL of 0.04 or 0.03, you could still fly a plane? Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah, really. That makes me think of a comedian one time. He was talking about how in college they decided to go skydiving. He's like, all right, who's carrying the cooler? You know, being in college. And so they got in the air, and all of a sudden, you know, they all had their beers. All of a sudden, you hear, so we look up, and old Hank the pilot, he's partying with us. He goes, well, hey, no yellow line. So no yellow line across. Who am I going to hit? So
I guess he's got a point. But extremely, I mean, I guess if you're jumping out of it, I mean, why not? I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not condoning it. Well, since we're talking Florida, and we like to talk Florida here, this comes from News Channel 8, I guess out of Tampa, and specifically Pinellas County, which a lot of good stuff happens in that county. So headline is, woman arrested after exposing herself to a St. Petersburg police officer, police say. That's right, a police officer. St. Petersburg police arrested a woman whom said they said cursed at and exposed herself to a police officer near Williams Park. And if you see this lady, I think you would pay her to keep her clothes on. An affidavit said that Deborah Liebrich, 58, approached the officer Thursday morning while she sat in her parked cruiser at 4th Street. The officer said Liebrich was upset that she was trespassed from Williams Park and was yelling and cursing at her. The officer told Liebrich to stop yelling and to walk away from her and the park. According to the affidavit, Liebrich responded by lifting her dress and exposing herself indecently to the officer. This was done as traffic and pedestrians were going by. She was then arrested and booked on a charge of exposure of sexual organs. So there you go.
Why would that be your go-to? You're yelling right at me. I'm lifting up my skirt.
All right. I mean, it's Florida. Yeah. It's Florida.
That's all the explanation you need, really.
Really, it is. All right, man. That's it for us. We need to get out of here and get some rest and enjoy the weekend. We'll get back at it Monday and enjoy your weekend, Mike. And until Monday, let's just say Gloria.